forming altogether such a labyrinth of roads and dwellings that one needs a guide to thread a way among them, as upon pathless solitudes or deserts of shifting sands. In the wider streets it is possible for two conveyances to pass each other, for in some of them, towards the middle of their length, a sweeping curve is taken out of the causeway on each side to allow of this being done. But in the smaller and closer streets there is room spared only for the passage to and fro of single carts, while here and there may be found an alley so narrow that the neighbors can shake hands if they would from opposite windows. Many of the houses are three or four stories, with walls inside and out dingy and grimed with smoke, and with windows that scarcely admit even the gloomy light which finds a way through the thick atmosphere and down between the high, close buildings. A few years ago, in one of these dismal streets, there stood a still more dismal yard, bearing the name of Angel Court, as if there yet lingered among those grimy homes and their squalid occupants some memories of a brighter place and of happier creatures. Angel Court was about 9 feet wide and contained 10 or 12 houses on each side, with one dwelling at the further end, blocking up the thoroughfare and commanding a view down the close, stone-paved yard, with its interlacing rows of clothes-lines stretched from window to window, upon which hung the yellow half-washed rags of the inhabitants. This end house was 3 stories high, without counting a raised roof of red tiles, forming 2 attics, the number of rooms in all being 8, each one of which was held by a separate family, as were most of the other rooms in the court. To possess 2 apartments was almost an undreamed-of luxury. There was certainly an advantage in living in the attics of the end house in Angel Court, for the air was a trifle purer there, and the light clearer than in the stories below. From the small windows might be seen the prospect, not only of the narrow court, but of a vast extent of roofs, with a church spire here and there, and the glow of the sky behind them. When the sun was setting in a thick purplish cloud of smoke and fog, there was greater quiet also, and more privacy up in the attics than beneath, where all day long people were trampling up and down the stairs, and past the doors of their neighbors' rooms. The steep staircase ended in a steeper ladder leading up to the attics, and very few cared to climb up and down it. It was perhaps for these reasons that the wife of a sailor who had gone to sea 8 months before had chosen to leave a room lower down, for which he had paid the rent in advance, in order to mount into higher and quieter quarters with her 3 children. Whatever may have been her reason, it is certain that the sailor's wife, who had been ailing before her husband's departure, had for some weeks past been unable to descend the steep ladder into the maze of busy streets to buy the articles necessary for her little household, and that she had steadily refused all aid from her neighbors, who soon left off pressing it upon her. The only nurse she had, and the only person to whom she would entrust her errands, was her eldest child, a small, spare, stunted girl of London growth, whose age could not be more than 10 years, though she wore the shrewd, anxious air of a woman upon her face, with deep lines wrinkling her forehead and puckering about her keen eyes. Her small, bony hands were hard with work, and when she trod to and fro about the crowded room, from the bedside to the fireplace, or from the crazy window to the creaking door, which let the cold draughts blow in upon the ailing mother, her step was slow and silent, less like that of a child than of a woman who was already weary with much labor. The room itself was not large enough to cause a great deal of work, but little Meg had had many nights of watch lately, and her eyes were heavy for want of sleep, with the dark circles underneath them growing darker every day. The evening had drawn in, but Meg's mother, her head propped up with anything that could be made into a pillow, had watched the last glow of the light behind the chimneys and the church spires, and then she turned herself feebly towards the glimmer of a handful of coals burning in the grate, beside which her little daughter was undressing a baby 12 months old, and hushing it to sleep in her arms. Another child had been put to bed already, upon a rude mattress in the corner of the room, where she could not see him, but she watched Meg intently, with a strange light in her dim eyes. When the baby was asleep at last, and laid down on the mattress upon the floor, the girl went softly back to the fire, and stood for a minute or two looking thoughtfully at the red embers. "Little Meg," said her mother, in a low yet shrill voice. Meg stole across with a quiet step to the bedside, and fastened her eyes.